Just lost their dearest friend. All that he said, now he was dead. So this is the way it would end. The dreams they had dreamed were not what they seemed. Now that he was dead and gone, the garden, the jail, hammer, the nails, how could the night be so long? Then came the morning, night turned into day, the stone was rolled. The dawn, then came the morning. morning had come. Aren't you glad that morning came? Woo-hoo. The grave could not hold him. Amen. The angel, the star, the kings from afar, the wedding, the water, the wine. Now it was done. They'd taken her son, wasted before his time. She knew it was true. She'd watched him die too. She'd heard him call just a man. But deep in her heart, she knew from the start, somehow her son would live again. Then came morning, night turned into day, the stone was rolled away, hope rose with the dawn. Then came the morning, shadows vanished before the sun. Death had lost and life had won, for morning had come. Death had lost and life had won, for morning had come.
Book of Ephesians, the third chapter. Book of Ephesians, the third chapter. I hope you brought your Bible. Ephesians, the third chapter. It's a wonderful privilege to be able to know what God can do to a sinner's heart. Because every one of us, whenever we reached the age of accountability, we were sinners. And that condemnation that God sent into our heart let us know that we were sinners. And I appreciate that very much, that God loves us. Good to have a new person in our church today, the little bitty one. I didn't see Zach and Gracie there at the beginning. Go by and take a gander, okay? I ain't got to say that, but it sure is good to see them young'uns in God's house. And I know Lila's around because she loves to come to the choir. We're glad to see that too. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. I want to look at one verse of Scripture. Probably we'll read 3 over the course of time. I want to read verse 13. The Bible says, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." May we pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for the words. God, we thank you for the songs that's been sung, testimonies that's been given. God, most of all, we thank for your presence. God, without your presence, God, we have no church. And I pray, God, today that we'd uplift and glorify your name. Thank you for that word that, God, you forgive us. And I pray you help us in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul spent more than one night in jail. We know it as what we would might call in our terminology, protective custody. And I don't know how you can term that. You can put it in a nicer form of jail or whatever you want to call it. But the Apostle Paul spent many a night in jail. He didn't spend a night in jail for crimes that we might think. We might think, well, what murder did he commit or what stealing did he do? None of those things were true. The Apostle Paul loved God. That love of God that he had in his heart caused him to be true to himself. Now, when you're true to yourself and you love God, sometimes you'll say things that's not popular. You'll do things that are not popular. In fact, if he'd have had a Bible, he'd have carried it everywhere he went. Didn't have one at that time. So the best thing that he could do was deliver the message that he loved so dear. He had a vast knowledge But just because he was raised kind of like what we would call it, raised in, with a religious background, didn't make him what he was. Now, he had it. He knew it. He knew the law, knew what we would call our Bible cover to cover type thing. But just because he knew that and was able to testify that, that was not what got him in trouble. What got him in trouble was he loved the Lord. Now, whenever he got saved, he had his own salvation experience, just like me and you. Mine and your experience of salvation is so real. It's something that we may not talk about to others, but it's real to us. You see, you don't have to tell everybody everything you know to be happy in the Lord. You don't have to tell about all the problems that you might be facing to be happy in the Lord. In fact, being in jail or being in this kind of chained to a soldier was the way of the government to kind of put a damper on the Apostle Paul. If we can't shut you up, we'll do the next best thing. We'll kind of keep you out of the limelight. We'll keep you confined. Just because somebody doesn't agree with you, don't make that other somebody right. Paul and Silas, they had been praying and they'd been worshiping God, but they'd been in jail. And Paul and Silas would have been an example to say, well, we're in trouble again, so what are we going to do? Well, next best thing they could do was to begin to pray and to sing. And I don't know how good a singer they were, but you don't have to be a good singer as long as you sing for the Lord, you know? You don't have to carry a tune in a bucket, but if you sing for the Lord, that's all it really counts. And so they're in jail and they're singing and they're praying and all that stuff. And you know what? They had on their hands chains and they were, feet were in stock and they were just as happy as they can be. I don't know how you do that. I don't know. I don't spend any time in jail and I don't know the surroundings, but I know it had to be something a little bit different than our modern jails that we have today. But they were happy. Now, they were happy. Well, this verse doesn't claim none of that. It doesn't say that they were happy. In fact, the Apostle Paul was talking about some folks over in Ephesians that he called, those people that lived in that area. And he was talking about them for a little bit. He didn't take his circumstances. He was looking at their circumstances. You see, it's a lot easier to say, woe is me, isn't it? It's easy to look in the mirror and see our problems. But sometimes God sends somebody our way for your problems. Everybody, I don't know what it was about Sunday school, but everybody was talking about Jonah. That was our lesson out here, and Greg did the same lesson for those in the back. And I don't know what the other classes did, but you know, whenever you look at Jonah in his situation, it'd be easy to say, boy, Jonah, he got in trouble for what he didn't do. I want to tell you, you don't have to go very far to get in trouble if you have a witness for God. You don't have to go very far. But if you're a witness for God, if you're a witness for Him, we're going to face more as time, as I believe, draws to an end. I believe the more you testify for God, the more you're a target. There's people in other countries today that would love to be able to come to church like we are right now. There's people that would love to be able to name the name of the Lord without any kind of persecution. But let's look at this verse. This is a simple verse, but let's look at it and look at it just a little bit deeper where it says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you. I want you to notice it would be very easy to understand the word faint. Faint is something that I don't recall doing. If I have, I don't remember it right off. But it's very possible that you could faint. Fainting is a possibility in extreme circumstances. I've seen soldiers march for miles and miles and miles because of heat and faint. I've seen people have a queasy stomach and because of sights and smells and all that, faint. I've seen different kinds of circumstances to cause people to faint. This particular scripture is not talking physical fainting. Because if it was just physical fainting, we could look at the Apostle Paul while in prison and maybe the circumstances would cause it to faint. But I don't believe that. I actually believe the circumstances can get so bad and so hard and so strong on you spiritually. Spiritually, that would cause us to want to faint. Bible tells us, be not weary in well doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. See? See? Whenever we think our circumstances that we cannot handle, maybe there's somebody not too far down the road that's praying for you. But the circumstances that prevail, the circumstances of your everyday life, what you're going through, you don't see that. You don't hear that. But that doesn't mean they're not praying for you. Can I go back to one of our other brothers in the Old Testament? There was another brother in the Old Testament that the government had done got on his case and put out a law that we're not going to have no more praying. You can just kind of get that out your mind. We're not going to be praying no more. But this old brother, he heard with one ear and he didn't hear with the other, okay? Because he heard what the government said to do, but he didn't hear that from God. And unless he heard that from God, he just ain't going to pay no attention to what the government says. It's kind of like this. If the government says one day, hey, y'all folks, we ain't going to have church no more. No, we kind of put a stop to that. That might be the ear that you hear it out of, but unless God says it, we ain't going to do it, all right? You got to understand that we are going to suffer tribulation in this world. And if the Bible says we shall suffer persecution, we shall suffer this tribulation, we got to know what to do. We got to know how to handle it. So the Apostle Paul says that there's going to be tribulation. So old Daniel, what did he do? He had a choice what to do, and he didn't really have a choice, did he? He done turned that ear off to man, but he hadn't heard nothing from God, so he's going to pray. Now, if Daniel was praying for you, and you know Daniel was praying for you, would it make a difference? Would it make a difference? Have you ever run a race and about 90% of the race is run and you think, I just can't make it no further? Man, you're running, but you're struggling physically. And if you're struggling physically, where you're out of breath, your legs are hurting, you're just struggling for everything, you're sweating so great, and it just seems like everything is against you, and 90% of the race is run, but you just can't see the finish line, you know what's easy to do? Quit. When you know somebody on the end of that race is praying for you, that last 10% of that race all of a sudden becomes just a little bit easier. There's no way to explain that. There's no way. Your mind will defeat you, but your spirit can encourage you. Your mind will say, there's no reason to ever serve God. Friend of mine, this book in Ephesians, Paul was saying to others, you're going to have situations that come up. You're going to have a word, a terminology called tribulations. But here's the way he says it. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you. For you. I faint not at what's going on even in your life. Okay. Can you look at yourself and see what's going on in your own set of circumstances, but yet others have it worse than you do? Oh my goodness, others have it worse than you do. When's the last time you looked in the kitchen cupboard and there was no food and there was no money to buy food? When's the last time you looked at the clothes on your back and you said, hey, these clothes are a bunch of rags? Friend, don't you know that if God so clothed the grass of the field, hey, friend, if God can take care of that field out there, God can surely take care of you. Ain't it something how we forget? Ain't it something how that we look at the tribulations of this world and begin to look and say, woe is me, but the Apostle Paul would not suffer this to happen. He wanted to pray. His desire was to pray. I got to hurry because there's something I want to cover next. The very verse that we didn't read, but I wanted to set the stage by this, but I want you to hear this. Here's what the next verse says. He says in verses 14, for this cause. I want you to know God looked in the hog pen of life and that's where he found me. God looked in the hog pen of life and he saw my circumstances and he was willing to come to the situation or the place that I was at for the very cause I bowed my knees unto the Father. For the very cause, for the very reason, for the situation that I find myself in. It's not looking at me and saying, oh, you can make it. Brother, I was thinking about this morning when Lonnie come in. I said, listen, if you look over there, there was a man that just went through heart surgery. I went through one. Lonnie's had a situation with his heart. And I look at the heart club, as we might can call it this morning. Every one of us can go into a heart situation and say, boy, that's a rare thing. Out of all these folks in this church, there's only a handful of us that's had a heart problem. Now listen, watch this. You know what we could all sit around and do? Have that pity party. Man, we could say, oh, look how pitiful my heart is and look how good your heart is. But you know what it caused me to do? It caused me to realize that God is the one that needs to put me on my knees and I need to thank God every day. Now watch this. The situation, the cause, the reason not for me, but the reason for you should cause us to get on our knees. Oh, look at me. Look at my problem. Friend, God never wants any of us to look at our problem. If you want to find a reason, you need to do like Daniel and open up in windows and pray because there's people out there that need God worse than you do right now. Because, friend, I don't have to do one more thing to guarantee you my spot in heaven. It all was done by Jesus Christ. Now, when you start thinking you're pretty good, you have to realize Jesus paid it all. When you start looking at your circumstances and start feeling sorry for yourself, look at somebody else in the situation that they're in. You know what it'll do? It'll cause you to bow on your knees to your Heavenly Father. But that ain't all. That ain't nowhere near enough is praying. And I believe that we should do everything concerning prayer. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That kind of means upon our mind, on our thoughts, we ought to have an open communication. In fact, I can take out my phone and I can click in a number and I can call somebody instant. If they got a phone and they'll answer that phone and I can say, listen, I want you to know this right here. Hang up. 10 seconds later, call them back. And they said, well, they must have misdialed me. No. 10 seconds later, oh, I want to add one more thing. Listen, you ought to pray, and you ought to mean it when you pray. But friend of mine, if that old mind just slips something, you know what you ought to be able to do? Go back to God and say, oh, God, I forgot this one thing, but it's just as important as them other things. Oh, thank God.
that I have the ability to see somebody else in problems. And I may have just been talking to God, but God gives me an opportunity to say, oh, God, can I bring up so-and-so? I forgot to tell you. You know what God would say? Hey, I hadn't forgot him, but I sure am glad you brought him up. I'm glad to know that through my tribulations that I have in this world, it's not about me. It's about you. That's what this verse says. Then I bowed. Now watch this final verse. This final verse. And I'm going to put my spin on it. So you just listen to me. For this cause, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, wait a minute. Maybe I didn't read that right. The Bible says, in whom the whole family in heaven and in earth are named. You know, I don't know how important this is, but the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That availeth much. Can I put my 2 cents in there? Because we pray, it makes a difference. Remember the runner? 90% done, about to quit, want to quit, no desire to go further. But all of a sudden, something comes into his heart, that comes to his mind that says, I can go the rest of the way. It's not doing better, feeling better, wanting something better. It's God telling you, push on. Be not weary in well-doing. It's being able to push on when nobody else cares. It's being able to help those that are hungry, those that have no clothing, those that are weary. It's better to help those. It's better to get your eyes off of you and look to the cause. And what is the cause? What is the reason? Did we just come to church today for our own benefit? Or did we come to church today for the benefit of others? And that others is the one that whole family in heaven and on earth are named. Can I tell you, I got loved ones on the other side and I got loved ones right here. And my desire is just like the desire ought to be in the Bible. We ought to pray for God's folks, but we ought to pray for our folks too. Our folks. My brothers. My sisters. But if I don't have a brother or sister to pray for, I got others to pray for. In fact, if you're lost today without God, I love you enough, but God loves you more than me. And whenever he taught me to pray, he never taught me to pray about what I want in this world. He didn't teach me, God, I want this and I want that. What God taught me was for others, the tribulations that others are going through. And then when I bow on my knees, and then when I ask God, I'm asking God for their name to be like my name. Now, what does that mean? Their name to be like my name. In heaven, everybody's going to be up there. Their name's going to end with tally. They're going to end with tally because your name's going to be like my name. That ain't going to work. I'm telling you. I ain't going to go around all day in heaven saying, hey, Brother Tally, that's out the window. But what I want you to gather is that name's not going to be mine. It's going to be his. The reason that I get to call family, family is because of him. And it ain't because of all of us good uns, because we ain't good uns. It's all because Him, because He's good. Can I finish with one more? And I promise. Listen, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He may grant you. I like this. You know why I like this? He may grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I just wanted to tell you this, that He may grant you according to the riches of His glory. You know what He grant means? Grant means is the same terminology that me and you might say, God give you. Whenever I was a kid, and some feller would come along. I used to know this one feller. Every time I would see this one feller, he'd reach in his pocket. No, wasn't a nickel, wasn't a dime, wasn't a quarter. He'd reach in his pocket and he'd pull out a stick of gum. Every time I saw that man, I didn't even know the man's name whenever he pulled out that stick of gum. You know what he was doing? It was a little gesture, kind to me, but he had made an impact on my life with a stick of gum. Because money didn't mean nothing to me. Years later, Jesus Christ come along in my life. He didn't have a stick of gum or a dollar, but what he gave me made an impact on my eternity. He granted unto me. He gave something to me. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad because of the tribulations that I suffer in this world. Somebody's praying for me. Somebody's praying for me. And you know what? I be praying for you just like you be praying for me. Oh, ain't God good? He put us in a family. Part of them's on the other side, but part of them's down here. And friend, our part that we ought to be doing is praying for somebody that they might be saved. If you're not saved today, I want you to know Him in the free pardon of sin. Let's have a song invitation, Brother Greg. I don't know your heart, are you alive? I wish I had the time to talk to you and tell you all your troubles and all your cares and all your concerns, and we could share them. But unless we have the Lord in our life, we really don't know. But God knows. God knows where you stand. God knows your situation. And you can ask Him. May we stand to our feet and sing a verse of a song. God's speaking to you today. And you need to come and pray. This altar's open for you. Come to know Him today in the free part.